Hi, I'm Kennedy Ferrugia with Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, where we break down the latest news in the oncology pharmacy space. On this episode of Pharmacy Focus, we sat down with Dr. Thomas Chen to discuss his innovative approach to brain cancer treatment through Neonc Incorporated. Dr. Chen is a highly regarded professor with expertise in neurosurgery, spinal cancer, brain tumors, and medicine.
So my name is Tom Chen, and I am a professor of neurosurgery at USC, and I am the founder of Neonc Technologies, which was founded about 10 years ago.
Great. So just to start, can you share a bit about your personal connection to brain cancer research and what inspired you to pursue this field?
Right. So I have been involved with brain cancer research since my residency days. And so that was in 1990. And so I've been involved with brain cancer research since then. I started the brain cancer research during neurosurgery residency, and the residency is basically the training to become a neurosurgeon after medical school. And so medical school is 4 years. Neurosurgery is 7 years of training. And I started the research in 1990, and I also obtained a PhD in doing research on brain cancers, and that ended in 1996. And then I became faculty at USC in 1997, and I have maintained a laboratory in brain cancer research since 1997. And so that's how long I've been doing it.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. So you have an extensive background in brain cancer research. So moving forward, what is the primary mission of Neonc Incorporated, and how does the nasal delivery system align with this mission?
So our goal is to cure brain cancer. And in terms of how Neonc is incorporated with it, the main thing is that our problems with curing brain cancer is that the drugs often do not get to the brain and the cancer. And so what Neonc is doing is that it's developing methodologies for, one, enabling the delivery to occur to the brain cancer, and two, develop novel molecules that can also be used for treating brain cancer. And the intranasal route is one very good route that has not been explored for treating brain cancer. You know that essentially our blood-brain barrier prevents a lot of our drugs from getting to the site. And the intranasal route allows you to non-invasively deliver these drugs via the nasal route, and what we are doing is we are bypassing the blood-brain barrier. We're not trying to force ourselves through the blood-brain barrier; just bypassing it, and we're bypassing it through delivery through what we call the cranial nerves. And the cranial nerves, there are 12 cranial nerves in our brain that are involved in the cranial nerve system. And the first cranial nerve and the fifth cranial nerves are the cranial nerves that we're delivering these drugs through.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I know you described a bit about the process, but can you describe the development of NEO-100?
Yes. So NEO-100 was developed initially by a scientist at University of Wisconsin. He has since passed away, but his name is Michael Gold, G-O-U-L-D. And Michael Gold is a biochemist, and he worked on a molecule called pyroalcohol. And at that time, when he developed pyroalcohol, He found that it was a very good cell cycle inhibitor and also inhibited an oncogene called RAS. He developed pure alcohol for treatment for body cancer. At that time, they were looking at breast cancer and colon cancer. And clinical trials were done up to phase two in recurrent breast cancer, GI cancer, mostly at University of Wisconsin. What happened was that they found that the drug had to be taken orally and at very high concentrations. So patients were taking up to 2 grams of this drug, and they were having a lot of gastrointestinal side effects. The drug might have been continued, but it was basically not well tolerated. And then the results in terms of activity was not as much as they hoped. Now, what happened was that one of my colleagues from Brazil visited Michael Gold because he was in search of new treatments for brain cancer. And when Michael Gold told him about his problems with the oral delivery, at that time the intranasal route was just getting developed in the scientific world. He and his colleagues in Brazil thought that he may be able to bypass the gastrointestinal problem by giving it intranasally. Now, in the United States, he might have had more pushback doing such a novel way of delivering. But in Brazil, where the IRB at that time was not as well established, he was able to go ahead and recruit patients. And when he started recruiting the patients, he found that one, it was very well tolerated. But two, the patients basically had almost no adverse events. And three, that these patients not only did well from a quality of life standpoint, but some of them actually had prolongation of life and actually had diminution of the size of their tumor. And for our brain cancers, if we get patients that had MRI scans where the tumors got smaller, it's considered a home run. And so when he had this data, he was very excited. He presented this data at the Brazilian Neurosurgical Society, and they gave him a scholarship to do a sabbatical anywhere in the world he wanted to. And he chose to come to USC and work with us. And he presented the data to us, and I was very impressed with the data and also with the technology. But the problem with everything that he was doing was that he was basically using chemical grade pure alcohol, and there was no IP to it, and it would be very hard to get that established through the FDA as a new treatment. And so my goal was to not only do this treatment in Brazil, I wanted to have it internationalized so that everybody can use it. And of course, you're going to have a lot of feedback from people that would say that, oh, this was not well controlled or this was not FDA approved. So I thought that the best way of doing it was to get this drug, make it under GMP conditions, and then we would add IP to it by essentially doing a purification step. So instead of the drug being bought just as a chemical grade in Sigma, we would make it pharmaceutical grade. And that's how we came across, that's how we end up developing NEO-100. And the FDA agreed with the step, and they gave us fast track status as well as orphan drug status for this drug. And we also got approval for doing an IND study. And this IND study was then approved as a phase 1/2A study.
That's excellent. Yeah, so there are definitely a lot of challenges and milestones along the way of creating NEO-100. But are there any major milestones or other challenges that you'd like to point out?
Yeah, so as in any clinical trial, what we found in the phase one study was that it was actually, as the Brazilians found out, that it was very well tolerated and the patients had no problems with it. But one thing that we found that was very interesting was that the phase one study had a total of 12 patients, and they were studied in a dose escalation manner. And we found that four of those patients actually had prolonged elongation of their lifespan. And we would normally expect these patients, which are, when we do clinical trials, we take the patients that are at the worst conditions because they have no other drugs to go back on. And so these patients are usually, when they're defined as recurrent malignant gliomas, their lifespan is usually about 6 to 8 months. And what we found in our clinical trials was that four of them actually lived longer than that 6 to 8 months. And three of them actually lived for longer than 3 years. And one of them is still alive. And so when we had this data, we said, well, what was so different about these patients that they had such a tremendous elongation of their lifespan? And so we went back and looked at their biomarkers. And one of the biomarkers that has recently been worked on is a mutation called IDH1/2. And we found that all these patients had this IDH1/2 marker. And because of that, we went back to the FDA and asked them for our phase 2A, instead of enrolling all comers, could we enroll patients specifically with IDH1/2 mutations? And that's why the phase 2A now is for enrolling malignant gliomas with IDH1/2 mutations.
That's excellent. So there have been some notable improvements in survival rates and quality of life for some individuals taking this.
Yeah, and I think that we are, like in any new product, any new drug, we are learning as we, and hopefully as we learn more, we will define our parameters even better and achieve even better results.
Yes, definitely. So obviously for the future of brain cancer, we obviously would like to find a cure, but what are your hopes for the future of brain cancer treatment specifically?
So going back to the original goals, one is to deliver the drug to the brain. And we actually have three routes that we are working on for delivering a drug to the brain. So one route is what we call the intranasal brain delivery. And besides what I talked to you about, the NEO-100, what we have found with the intranasal brain delivery is that we have found that the NEO-100 is a very good carrier for other drugs to the brain. And so what we're working on right now is also taking drugs that we know have activity against the brain. And what we're working on is basically delivering those drugs via liposomes and doing intranasal delivery to the brain. So not only NEO-100, but NEO-100 is a carrier for other drugs that may be effective in the treatment of brain cancer, but delivering it in a way that is safe intranasally to the brain and the brain cancer. So that's one route that we are working on. Another route that we're doing is that we are taking drugs that we know have activity against brain cancer, and we're developing new drugs by conjugating our base molecule NEO-100 to them. And we chemically conjugate a drug. There are different ways of chemically conjugating drug, but if you conjugate via what's called an ester bond, the FDA does not consider that as a new chemical entity. But if you bond that with a drug bond called carbamide bond, which is a nitrogen bond, then it's considered a new chemical entity. So what we have been doing is that we have taken drugs that we know has activity, we conjugate them via carbamide bond, we run it through a program. It's similar to, what people may call artificial intelligence or whatnot, but we can predict whether a drug can have better blood-brain barrier penetrance if they're conjugated via this method. And so we made a number of new drugs this way. And one of the drugs that is actually undergoing clinical trials with NEOONC technologies is called NEO-212. And that drug is basically taking a standard care drug, temozolomide, and conjugating it via this carbamide bond to NEO-100 and making a new drug. And then the third method that we are doing to enable delivery of the drug to the blood, through the blood-brain barrier, is that we give NEO-100 intra-arterial. So intra-arterial means that we go through the groin, we place a catheter through the groin and goes to the brain. And what we do is that we open up the blood-brain barrier with intra-arterial NEO-100, and then that blood-brain barrier stays open for a total of 4 hours. And during that time, we're able to deliver drugs that normally do not cross the blood-brain barrier, such as antibodies, antibody-drug conjugates, and we can even get CAR T cells across the blood-brain barrier using this methodology.
Great. So there's a lot of future treatment options for brain cancer, which
there
is.
Is.
That's all the questions that I had, but is there anything else you'd like to add that maybe we didn't get a chance to cover?
No, aside from the fact that, everything is a work in progress, but our goal is to be very focused on our clinical trials. Right now, we have 4 clinical trials in progress. We have 2 phase 2 trials, and we have 2 phase 1 trials. And I just want to let you know what those trials are involved. So the phase 2A trial that I've already described in detail is with NEO-100, and it's recurrent malignant gliomas with IDH1-2 mutations. There's a phase 2 trial called NEO-100-02, and that is with what we call recurrent meningiomas. So meningiomas are a common type of brain. It's the most common benign brain tumor in the brain, but like any tumor, it can become malignant or atypical. And meningiomas can also be very difficult to treat because of their location, and and especially in what we call the skull base or the base of the brain. Many of these patients have repeat surgeries, and their tumors keep on coming back. So we have a phase 2 trial in which they have intranasal delivery of of the drug to the tumor. And when we do that, we see good responses to these meningiomas. And these patients would normally have to undergo more surgery, but with the intranasal delivery, they seem to be doing better with that. And again, we are recruiting patients and getting patients treated with that trial. Our other two trials are both phase one. And the phase one trial is, the first one is with NEO-212. And that's basically with the temozolomide conjugate that I talked to you about. These patients take this drug orally. And we're actually seeing that it's very well tolerated. And we're already seeing good activity from these patients already. And this is for since this is a phase one trial, we're treating all patients with recurrent or difficult to treat brain cancer that cannot be treated by other methodologies. And then the last one is with children. Children also get brain cancer. Unfortunately for children, they tend to be involving what we call the midline or the middle of the brain, which involves brainstem. And with these brainstem gliomas, most of these patients can only undergo the most a biopsy to get the diagnosis. And then they're treated with chemotherapy, and they're also treated with radiation. And what we have done with our trial is that we want to use NEO-100 for kids with malignant brain cancer. And most of these are going to be involved with brainstem gliomas. And this trial is currently getting launched. We're working with this a group called the Pediatric Neuro-Oncology Consortium. They're basically about 90 clinical sites throughout the United States, and to run a clinical phase one trial involving children. And I'd like to have that highlighted also.
Thank you so much for listening to this month's episode of Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition. I hope you enjoy the updates and tune in next month for some new findings in the oncology pharmacy space.